thought for today. Benefits of saying I like me. Benefits of saying I like me. Well, I can't think of any, so. What are the benefits of saying I like me? Well, number one, the more I say I like me, the more I'm going to like myself. The more I'm going to recognize nice things about me. Like, I'm a living being. I'm alive. I like that. I have hair. I like that. I like to have a full head of hair, but I'm, you know, slipping back a little bit because my brain is getting so busy, you know. But it's fine hair what I have. You know, looks good. People say, my, you have beautiful silver hair. And I say, you're right. And then I see perfectly. I can read. I can see distance and near and far. That's lovely. I can hear without hearing aids. And that's lovely, too. I bought a set of hearing aids so that I could hear quiet people who don't raise their voice and who sometimes use phrases and words that slip by me. But basically, I hear good. And I can feel, I have good tactile endings to my nerves throughout my body. I feel the sensations, and I'm in control of my nerve sensations. I'm in control of my body. I can walk out in 40-degree weather and have no clothes on and walk the entire perimeter of the property of a mile and a half, mile and three quarters, and not feel cold and say my affirmations, not run or rush. But just walk in a brisk walk, which is a good way to do it, and I feel wonderful. And when I'm out walking and it's 100 degrees, I also am in control. I don't feel the heat. I just feel that it's more heat than I should be allowing my body, because that's sort of roasting type heat, you know. And pretty soon I'd be roasted. So I keep that time at a minimum. But it's wonderful. I take my walks in the morning, again, oftentimes when it's 85, 90 degrees outside, and it's a dry, wonderful heat, and my body is acclimated to this because my mind is in charge. I like me. And I eat my foods, and I digest them perfectly. I have perfect elimination, assimilation, and there's another...
Circulation.
Huh? Circulation. Thank you, love. I have perfect circulation, perfect elimination, and perfect assimilation. I assimilate my foods wonderfully. My bowel movements are always excellent. They're just plain normal and beautiful. And my circulation is excellent. The doctor told me to take a baby aspirin once a day because that keeps the blood thin, so you never have to be concerned about heart attacks or anything like that. And I wouldn't have thought of taking it except that he recommended it. And so I do. I follow the doctor's directions. And I am in perfect health. I am happy, I am hearty, I am contrary to anything you may have heard this morning, madame, I'm 25 years old. I'm 25 years old. I've been 25 years old for the last 1,000 years, but I enjoy it very much. It's a nice age to be. And my mind is alert, it's crisp, it's sharp. I am going on perhaps to 1 day or 2 days or a week of the second month of my diet, my fast, and I have not eaten any solid foods or anything like that for over 33 days now, and I have just drunk this half a cup of pure maple syrup, half a cup of lemonade, pure lemonade, and a dash of cayenne pepper and a gallon of water. And that's all I've had these past 32 days, and I feel great. I am out walking the path. I am working. I'm driving to San Diego several times a week. I am doing many other things. I'm attending the classes on computer schooling, learning more about the computer, and I'm doing all sorts of wonderful things, and I feel good. And I don't think I'm irrational. I don't think I am terrible. As some people, when they go on a diet, they just get, you know, all spaced out. They get irritable. And unnice people to be around. And I don't think that's the case with me. Of course, I am not the judge too well of myself, but others have not complained about it too much. So, when you like yourself, you begin counting the wonderful things about you. I had pains in my toes the other day, and I thought, oh no, is that arthritis? And I said, no way. And so I went into the jacuzzi and I massaged my foot and I said, you're a wonderful foot. I did both of them, you know, might as well do both of them. You're wonderful feet, you're fantastic, you're wonderful. And I took my toes and I pulled them with all my might and stretched them. And I bent my toes back and forth and I massaged them. And I said, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. And within a day or two, the pain was gone, completely gone. I loved you and I blessed you and I saw you whole and perfect. And then I had a pain in my heel. And I thought, what the heck is this all about now? A pain in my toe and pain in my heel? And, you know, you can't see the bottom of your heel unless you're a contortionist. And I'm not a contortionist. I'm wonderful, but I'm not a contortionist. So I took the mirror the other day, and I looked at the bottom of my heel, and I said, why are you hurting? And there the skin was split. You know how your heel splits sometimes. And so I took some liquid bandage. You know what liquid bandage is? It's like nail polish, but it's liquid bandage. And it's breathable and so on. And I painted that on there, and instantly the pain went away. I could walk on it, and the healing began. But I was thinking something other. Oh! And you shouldn't think something other. Think the simplest thing. Take a good look at it. Take a mirror and look at areas of your body that you can't see. And you'll find that you really are pretty nice. You're pretty nicely built. Everything about you is good. Everything about you is whole and perfect. Everything about you is one. I say that. I like me. I like me because everything about me is nice. My wrist was hurting the other day. I thought, oh, carpal syndrome, you know, from working on the computers and using the mouse and stuff. And then I massaged and it hurt quite a bit. And I said, now look, I don't need this. And so I began kissing my wrist and telling my wrist how much I loved it and how wonderful it is. And it's whole and perfect. I love you. I love you. It's no longer there. A couple of days, boing, completely gone. But we start naming things the wrong name and claiming them, and we get in trouble. We name and claim, yes, yes. But take your hand and kiss your hand and touch your body, because in parts you can't reach, you know. Yeah, yeah. And name it, and you're going to enjoy it. But say, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. I like you, I like you, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And when you keep liking yourself, the right answer comes to you. And it says, hey, don't go making a federal case out of this. Don't make a big thing out of this. This is nothing but just a matter of putting a cause in motion for wholeness and perfection and right action. That's all. So when you begin saying, I like me, when you begin saying, I'm a wonderful person, I'm a beautiful person, I'm a person filled with joy and harmony and peace and love and goodness, and keep saying those things, keep saying, that's what you are. The world is going to throw things at you. Ingeborg looks at this magazine that comes from Dr. What's my little's name, and in that magazine is every piece of thing that you could possibly want for whatever your needs are. If you have arthritis, if you have rheumatism, if you have low sugar, high sugar, if you have low calcium, high calcium, if you have low potassium, high potassium, if you have this and if you have that, if you can't see well, take these vitamin pills will help you see. If you can't urinate well, this will help you urinate. If you have a prostate problem, this will clear up your prostate problem. Whatever, you name it, they got it. And I thought, what a sick way to spend our time looking at something like that. We bought some stuff for our feet, some sort of an ointment for our feet, because our feet were cracking all around because it's so dry up here and we don't wear shoes. We wear sandals. And so we don't keep the moisture in our feet, and we are stealing the moisture from our feet and letting it go, and we're not returning it fast enough, so they crack. But we could put a cause in motion that even that could happen. We say, well, look at all these people living in the desert, and they don't have shoes, all these children living in the desert. They have an acclimation going, which we haven't got. They say their feet are whole and perfect, feet are whole and perfect. But there are some, not many, happily, but there are some who this doesn't work for. And their feet crack all over the place, and they get infection, gangrene, lose their legs, and all that sort of good stuff. But that's because they were not practicing the awareness. The children who say, ah, nothing, my feet are perfect. You know, hey, how about your feet? You know, like soft leather, just wonderful, running over the hot sands and stuff like that. I admired a piece of statuary that came out of Africa. And it was this boy standing there with one foot on top of one knee, you know, and he had a staff there. And he was naked out in the sun. He was tending his sheep. And I often thought, I wonder why he's always got one foot up like that. Probably because he's cooling it while the other foot is warm. But I shouldn't think so, because I think they have that under control. But they don't need shelter. They don't get out of the sun. They acclimate themselves mentally to the sun, and acclimate is a good word, acclimatize yourself to it, so that they are able to do anything they want to do. You know, it's when civilization comes into third world countries that the third world country goes to pot. Before civilization comes there, they don't know about TV, they don't know about medical doctors, they don't know about processed food, they don't know about a lot of things. They have a very limited, specific diet, which they have trained themselves to live comfortably on. They eat herbs that their witch doctor tells them to use. We shouldn't call them a witch doctor. It is their doctor. It is their tribal doctor who is educated by the previous tribal doctors who taught them. Sometimes they use voodoo things, not voodoo, but they use unusual things. But sometimes some of our doctors use unusual things. Our alternative med. Hey, you want to hear an unusual thing? Acupuncture. Isn't that an unusual thing? And that works. But everyone can't do it. It takes special training. And it brings about miraculous. And so for some people, it doesn't work because they don't believe in it. They don't put their confidence in it. And other people, it works beautiful because they put their confidence in it. Mother had it done. And we were telling Mother, you know, that she really didn't have some problem. I forgot what it was. I don't even need to know what it was. And so then the acupuncturist was working on her. And then she asked me to massage her feet and give her, you know, acupressure on her feet. And I did. And I was pressing certain areas. Ah, ah, ah! And I said, Mom, that's not your lungs or whatever. That was your lungs, not something else that she thought it was. I said, there's something about your lungs that is inharmonious. Go and tell your doctor that to check your lungs, because something inharmonious. She did. She had water on her lungs, which was causing her to have all sorts of complications. And after she had that taken care of, she was just like a spring chicken again. So, you see, when you say, I like myself, when you say, I like me, you open yourself up to all the beautiful avenues of wholeness and perfection. And sometimes you want the logical thing, like, you know, looking at your heel and seeing that it's split and that's why it hurts. Not that you have some other silly thing happening to you. But whatever the case may be, listen to your divine self. Your divine self is talking to you. It says, I hurt, I hurt, I hurt. And you say, okay, it must be arthritis or rheumatism or it must be something else. Or, you know, look at it. If you can't see it, take a mirror and look at it. And my goodness, the skin is split. No wonder it hurts. It has nothing to do with all that other sort of nonsense that we don't have to have in our bodies, but we mentally claim it. But it is the skin that's broken. And so I put that liquid bandage on there. Instantly, it was over hurting. I could walk on it. I could do everything with it. And it was perfect. And it's healing up inside under the bandage just wonderfully. And that's great. But listen to yourself. When you say, I like me, and yourself says, yeah, sure you like me. You drink all that beer. You think that makes me happy, you know? That doesn't help my this body maintain its equilibrium and its fine qualities and stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that. And you still do it because you like the beer, you know? You like the wine. You like the alcohol. You like these things, and there's nothing wrong with them if you can handle them. When I take a drink of alcohol, I always say, in she goes and out she goes and doesn't stop in between. You know, just right through. And it does. If you can have that confidence about yourself, if you can have that awareness about yourself. But in the first place, why test? If you like yourself, why hurt your body? If you like yourself, why put anything into your body that is not salubrious, that is not harmonious, that is not health-giving? Only put in your body that which is health-giving because you like yourself. And when you do that, you get the benefits of saying, I like me. The benefits will be that you will have a body that lives a long time. And now we read the other day this article, remember? It said they have done this on rats and they've done it on other animals, and they feed them a near starvation diet and they tripled and quadrupled their lifespan. And they feel that if man could eat less, he would live longer. Now, you can't just start eating less when you're an old person, because, I mean, you've built up a few things. But you can. It will help. It will help. But start when you're young, eating a modest diet of required things. Actually, perhaps the day will come when eating will no longer be that much excitement for us, and we'll just take a pill, and the pill will have everything that we need in it, and we will maintain our absolutely perfect equilibrium. I think that'd be a fantastic thing. They do it for spaceships and space trips and stuff like that. And wouldn't that be wonderful if they would give this to old people who have a limited budget, who have nothing to keep them alive, and the government helps them what they can, but the people don't have good judgment. They go out and spend it on some wine to get out of their head so they don't have to know that they don't have enough to eat. And that's unfortunate. But wouldn't it be wonderful if instead of food, we would have these pills, and if we sat down at the table together, it would be a time of family sharing or a time of mutual sharing between friends. Because a time of sharing is always difficult to come by. People do not find enough time to share with themselves and their loved ones. They just don't take the time, and they don't find the time. And because they don't take and find the time, then they don't build that wonderful bond that friends can have. And, you know, I would say 50% or better of the time that friends spend together, they spend together in solitude. They don't even talk to each other. They may be riding in the car together. They're good friends. And they don't have to talk. If they have to talk, then somebody's trying to make some points. But friends can be together and not say a word because they like themselves. They like themselves, and they don't have to express themselves constantly. They're expressing themselves by the language of their silence, which is a beautiful language. Now, can you do that? Or do you have to keep talking? Do you have to keep getting your mouth? Come on, it's kind of dead at the table here. Nobody's talking at the table. Hey, that's fine sometimes. That's wonderful sometimes. Let it be. I talk enough, you know, but let it be. And have a wonderful, quiet meal. Wouldn't that be something? Now, we have had in the School of the Masters quiet time, too, where everyone's supposed to be quiet. And it just did not work. I had a seminar, which was a quiet seminar, over in where was it? Montebrai and Locarno and in Switzerland. And the first 3 days, everybody, and nobody's supposed to open the door for anybody else. It's supposed to be a really intense little seminar. And the tempers got all up and out of shape. And I had to have them talk. And the minute I had them talk, you know, it's like letting out a great release. And they were all friends. They loved each other. They talked and had a good time. And I said, well, I think this is where we are. We will talk. And we did. And it was good. But some people can't handle not talking. Now, Herbert Marti, he said, I can handle not talking. I have been in certain desert tribes. I have been in seminars where you didn't talk. I have been just fine. He was one of the worst of them. He was one of the worst of them. He had to, you know, talk with his hands. He had to talk with his eyes. He had to talk with his head, you know. He couldn't keep silent. Of course, none of the rest could either. But, hey, what does it mean, no communication? That means no looking at another person and saying, you're neat. No looking at another person and say, I love you. No looking at another person and say, Ingeborg, how you come with your knitting? See? No looking at another person and asking questions and stuff, you know. Because if you do that, or if you use sign language, it's just like that's communicating. And that you can't do. But when you like yourself, you could go for years and not talk. Because you have the most wonderful companion inside yourself with whom you converse and whom you share who you are. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, Are you willing and ready for such an experience in your life? Then start saying, I like me, 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 I am God, God, I am. I like me, I like me, I am God, God, I am. I should have sang at the beginning of my talk. I like me, 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 I like me. Sing to yourself, think to yourself, talk to yourself. And the benefits are, Ellen, name one benefit from talking to yourself.
Talking to myself?
Saying I like me.
I'm saying I like me makes me happy.
All right. What's the benefit to you, Astrid, saying I like me? Don't take
it
so long.
Makes me laughing.
What's that?
Laughing.
It makes you laugh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Heinz, what is the benefit to you by saying I like me?
It charges my battery.
It charges your batteries.
Yeah.
Oh, my, that's wonderful. All right, Rhonda, what makes you happy, or what makes you, what comes of you saying, I like me?
To experience the abundance of the universe in which I am. To experience the abundance of the universe in which I am.
To experience the abundance of the universe which you are. Not bad. All right. Lady Ingeborg?
Well, I say I energize myself.
You energize yourself. Right. You and Heinz are right on the track there, aren't you? Now, this is terrific. This is what it's all about. And this is what we are all about. We are all about saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. And our world goes topsy-turvy. Every unhappy experience turns into a happy one. Every unhappy friend becomes our dearest happy friend. Every unhappy relationship in our life becomes the most noble and glorious relationship that ever existed, because we like ourselves, and we can only associate with beings who like us and who are likable and who are fabulous. And that's who we are. Benefits of saying I like me? There's no end to the benefits of saying I like me. I would like it if each of you would attempt in your most serious, passionate way to run out of benefits of saying, I like me. I would like that very much, because I know it's impossible. So with that, I will say the thought for today. Benefits of saying, I like me is pretty powerful, pretty wonderful, and I know you're going to experience that too. I love you, I like you, but I like you more than I love you. Because I like having you in my world, I like having you in my experience, but I love everybody unconditionally. So to like is a very special, wonderful experience that we can all have. I love you.